Hi, and welcome to Five Compelling Questions with Sean. That is the name of my show. This is the podcast where we speak with writers about writing. I'm very excited to have my guest today, Darlene Bazamba. How you doing, Darlene?
I'm doing great, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so thrilled to have you here. And I know I've seen your name around and we've like moved in similar circles. So I'm really glad to have met you officially today. And I'm so honored that you said yes to coming on the show. Thanks for being here.
Oh, you're
So I'm
welcome.
gonna,
Thanks for having me.
of course. And we just bonded over because we're both Jersey girls. So that was fun. All right, I'm gonna give you a brief introduction. Darlene debuted the Lily Dreyfus mystery series with the release of Clues from the Canines in March of 2022. So not very long ago. Book is currently being read on four continents. Cool. She's the director of membership for the Sync Grand Canyon Writers. Darlene volunteers at the Animal Welfare Association, a no-kill animal shelter located in New Jersey. She enjoys chatting with the dogs while completing her assignments. She is retired from a 34-year career in finance at the University of Pennsylvania and is an avid reader, gardener, and traveler and animal lover. It's not there, but it was implied. Darlene lives in New Jersey with her four-legged best friend, Billy. My four-legged best friend is named Dino, and he's in the bed because he thinks Zoom is party time. So he has to always take his nap.
Ah.
But yeah, but we took a 3 mile walk as we do most mornings this morning. So even though it was only 25 degrees. But welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
So tell us about your newest book. What's your most recent title? And I want to hear the whole thing, but tell us your newest book and what is the story with that?
So my newest book is called Fire and Dalmatian, and the story begins with the home of a known hoarder burning to the ground. And not only did she hoard paper and lots of other things, but she also hoarded cats. And so after the home burns to the ground, there are dozens of cats roaming the neighborhood. And my character, Lily Dreyfus, helps to gather the cats up. They go to the SPCA, and then her shelter receives about 10 of them to put up for adoption. And along the way, she gets caught, drawn into, well, was the death accidental? Or was there a murder involved?
Absolutely, and these are they're very fun, and they're obviously they're this is and you were so which number of book is this that we're talking
This is
about? What
number
number?
three.
Oh wow, okay, so that's been quick. We are
Yes.
24, so that's been quick. So tell us about all the books in the series. Tell us about the overview of the entire series, and that will actually be my first. I won't be a first official question, but please, how do we get to this point with these books?
So I was volunteering at the AWA, walking dogs and working in the clinic. And I've always been a big reader. So I've gone to BoucherCon many times as a reader to try and, discover new authors. And I was sitting in BoucherCon Toronto, listening to this panel talk about people who had dog walkers as protagonists and dog groomers as protagonists. And I said, I've never read a book where the protagonist has worked in an animal shelter. And the craziest thing happened. I said, I should write that. And I have no experience writing a book. I'm a finance person, but the thought came to me and I said, I'm going to try to do this. And so I joined a writer's workshop and I kind of worked through, and then I met some really fabulous librarians who were happy to mentor me along the way. And in 2022, Clues from the Canines came out. That was my first book. It introduces Lily, and sorry, in her she goes to work, gets a call from the state police. They found someone dead in his home, and he has a dog, and they'd like the shelter to house the dog until, they can make their next of kin notification. And Lily says, "Of course, we can do this for you," and then finds out that the man who's dead is her boyfriend. So she's devastated by this, and she gathers her pack, human and canine, to sniff out the killer. So, and she kind of gets drawn in, gets her coworkers drawn into this, and in the interim, she's still trying to do her job as an adoption coordinator. And she does eventually figure out who did it with her pack. Then in book two, she is out at a summer concert, listening to music, and there's a drive-by shooting. The shooting kills two of the band members, and she finds out that one of them was her coworker's nephew. So again, she kind of gets drawn into what was the shooting? Was it just random? Was there a motivation behind it? And who was the intended target? And there lots of dog interactions along the way. Sorry, also in there, her good friend Lucinda, who is an auditor, is working on an audit with the county police department. And she starts uncovering some inconsistencies in the financials of the audit that tie in to the investigation that Lily's doing at the same time. And so you kind of find out there's a tie-in there, and that kind of leads you to what happened and who was the villain in this case.
Great. Well, they are fun. And it's interesting. Well, I love that you were inspired by going to BatcherCon, which is the World Mystery Convention. And that
Yes.
is it's such a great thing to go out and meet other writers and just kind of hang out and learn from. And there's just a sense of like being in a community where you're rubbing up against these people. And I'd always come home feeling inspired when I'm at a thing.
I do too.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're involved with Sync and everything. So Sisters in Crime, for those who maybe come into the podcast for the first time today, Sisters in Crime is one of the best organizations you can be involved in as a crime writer or any kind of writer. And BatcherCon is one of the best events you can go to. It's just it, they just are. They just are.
They
So
are
that's great.
really
Yeah.
Sisters in Crime is so amazing.
Oh yeah, for sure. Very supportive. It's just like a sisterhood, but there's misters too. You don't have to be female, but it's a great place to get started if you want to start connecting and getting inspired. And
Yes.
I love everything they do. All right, well, you kind of answered my first question as far as like specifically for this series, but my first question was going to be, how did your fiction writing career get started? Because you were in finance, you did other things. So is this the first thing you've ever written, or is this like the 10th book you've ever written? Tell us about your
No,
journey into, yeah.
this is the first book I've ever written. I was in my 50s when I had this idea, and I hadn't written anything long since I had been in graduate school. It was like 20 years before that. So it was really a challenge to me to sit down and come up with 70,000 words. The librarians who helped me along will tell you it was really a challenge because I got to about 40,000 and I was like, I'm not really sure what to do next. And they're like, well, first of all, you don't have a full book. So, but
You have a fleshed out idea. Now let's keep going.
exactly. So
That's cool. That's great. So you mentioned you have library. So that was so I love when it flows into the next thing. So you have you're an indie pub author, correct? You're doing
I am, yes.
things on your own. So you but you sounds like you have support and beta readers. Sisters in Crime is huge support. So what is your process? Do you have them like give you feedback? Do you have editing people? How do you handle, first of all, why'd you choose that way? And then how do you have people supporting you, I'm assuming, right?
Yes, I do. So why I chose to indie publish really is I spent about 18 months querying agents, and out of about, I don't know, 90 queries, I got two requests for feedback for additional pages. And I sat down and I said to myself, like, what's the most important thing? Like, what do you really want from this? And important was my parents to be able to hold a book in their hands that had my name on the front cover. And I said, okay, then I'm not going to spend 10 years querying agents. And I know a lot of the famous writers say, like, don't worry about how long it takes, just keep doing it. But for me, my parents were in their mid-80s. I wanted them to hold that book. And so I said, I'm going to indie publish this. And maybe it's not the best career move as a writer, but I had one career. And I'm okay to, kind of take a leap of faith. So that was why I indie published.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited. My parents are still with me, and now they're holding book three because I got my author copies a few weeks ago. So.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's the most important. I mean, that's the best backstory I've ever heard for that path. And that used to be like a bad taste in your mouth when people said that. Like you and this is 20 years ago, 25 years ago, people were so, more snobbish about things, but
Yes.
it's not, I mean, everyone. There's a lot of hybrid authors. There are authors that prefer indie because they make more money and they can, they go through the process of getting everything edited and cover designs made and things. And it's, they've invested in themselves. It's like selling your car by yourself or selling your home by yourself or just having an agent, it's really, it's a different, it's not, there's anything wrong with that. It's just a way to go. And I think
Yes.
the stigma has fallen away. And it's now, I've been on the board of multiple organizations, and it's the shift has been remarkable over the last decade, where it's sort of like we're having programming specifically for indie authors because they're the rock stars. They're out there killing
Right.
it, you know?
Right.
So
Yes.
there's zero things wrong with that path. And I think it's great. And I've self-published my first novel, and look at, it just is, sometimes it's a way to get noticed too. And some
Right.
people stay there because why would you give half your money away? You already know what you're doing. So, and you have
Well,
more, you're more nimble as far as like choices of covers and things like that too. You don't have to be beholden to other people's opinions.
exactly. I feel like I do have more flexibility being independent, and I get a lot more say. And so, I don't want to say I'm a little type A and anal, so I like having a little more say in like what goes on the cover.
Yeah, because some of my friends who are with Big Five, they're like, yeah, they go, do you like your cover? And they go, no. And they go, well, we weren't really asking. Well, too bad. So yeah, you don't have to deal with that, at least, or someone telling you that
Exactly.
your writing isn't up to par. Okay, so the third for you, so for this, and then you have background, just through your bio and knowing a little bit about you, it sounds like you write what you know. So what came first for you, the plot, the setting, or the characters for this book, these series?
The setting came first because I really thought about how do I work something in and around an animal shelter. So, that was the first thing, and then then it was really about the plot. Like, okay, so I need to figure out how to make this work because there's the one mystery, and that's the base. But then there are going to be other pieces. You have to keep the reader interested and, kind of guessing, and then weave those pieces together. So, yeah, plot was setting was first, plot was second, and then I really worked on characters, mostly because those librarians were like, these characters are a little flat, So.
See, we've gotten that feedback. You're going to get it from one person or another, but it's better to get it before publication than not after in reviews. So it's good to have
Exactly.
that kind, constructive. I always tell new writers, find that person who's not your mom that will say, but is still kind, will say things to you in a constructive manner that won't make you feel devastated that you're terrible, but they'll also will be like, hey, that was a good note. That was a really good note to tell you to flesh out your characters and to make them more three-dimensional. I mean, that's very helpful. But some people have a
Yes.
really hard time taking that kind of criticism. But yeah, it's good. That's really good. It's awesome.
Well, it's funny, the person who's become I call her my coach and my friend, but we had only communicated via email for like 2 years. And then we finally met each other at a BoucherCon. And she looked at me and she said, I have to tell you take criticism better than anybody I've ever met. And when I was finished laughing, I said, no one has ever said that to me in my life. No one has ever said that to me. She's like, oh, but you're so good at accepting, the feedback I give you. And I was like, yes, I think you need to understand there's this fine line between accepting criticism and not knowing what the heck I'm doing and grabbing onto a lifeline. Oh, good. This is what I need to do to make it better. So we both laugh about that, years later.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a give and take. It is, and it's.
It is.
I've been at many of these badger cons you're talking about. I clearly remember Toronto. I made some really good friends that year, and I still have dear friends that I made. Every year, you kind of meet a new person, and then that's like your new friend. But
Yes.
yeah, I was at the bar one time. I think it was in Dallas, and somebody, one of my authors. So now I'm at the point where I'm editing for like hundreds of authors at this point. It's a
Okay.
lot people. So somebody was like, oh. I didn't like what she said about my work. So my author came over and was like, oh, somebody was saying Sean was rough on me on that edit. And I'm always very kind. I'm never like,
Right.
ah, I say things in a kind way because I'm a writer too, and I understand that you don't want to crush people. But then the end of the conversation turned out to be, it made the story so much better. I'm really glad that she was took the time to give me those notes, and I did what everything she said. I was like,
Right.
so you never know, you have to meet people where they are. And I don't want to ever hurt anyone's feelings, but if And I always couch it in like, if I'm thinking this, some other people might too. And I want to protect you from negative reviews down the road. So, but this is your work.
Right.
Please disregard if you don't feel like, this is your work. I'm just bringing you advice. Since I really do feel like that's an editor's role. So, unless it's like egregiously bad, then I'll put my foot down. But I'm like, no. Okay. I do say no once in a while. That's very rare. Okay. So, and we're already up to question four. Do you have a favorite character in these books? Do you have a someone that stands out? Maybe it's like a minor character, or not. Do you love them all like your children?
Well, the favorite characters in my books are the dogs. So, Lily has two dogs. They are called Boone and Crockett because they are both hound dogs, and hound dogs like to investigate and explore. And they are modeled after my dog. So, Boone is mo modeled after a Basset Hound Beagle mix I had named Tugger, and Crockett is modeled after Billy. And they couldn't be more different because Crocker, sorry, Tugger was kind of like a curmudgeon. I called him the grumpy old man dog. And Billy is just so full of energy. She loves everybody and everything and wants to be around all the people. So I actually love the dog characters. I probably should like the human characters the best, but I love the dog characters.
You are allowed to love the dog characters, and you're allowed. That is so cute. You love. I mean, this is just coming radiating off of you, how much you love these dogs and these characters. I had a dog named Boone. Can you believe that? There's so much in
Wow.
common, and he was an
Yes.
English bulldog. He wasn't trying to hunt anything. He was just sleepy. But he was. But I'm. My mom lives in a town. I finished high school in a town called Boonesboro, Maryland, and I named him
Oh.
after him. And it was founded by. Pretty, I have to look up the history, but I'm pretty sure it was like a relative of Daniel Boone that founded the town. So I
How
was like,
cool.
I'm naming him Boone for that reason. So, but he was a cute dog. He was a very, very good dog. I loved him, of course. I always had English bulldogs, and then now I have a French bulldog, and I'm like, oh, that's the same thing.
Oh,
They're just smaller. Yeah, they're not the same. They are zero the same. They just have bulldog in their name. They're not the same. They don't sleep all day. Like, oh my God, I learned late. I love him. I love him too. Okay, number five. You are now an accomplished published author. I'm proud of you. It's awesome. This is hard work. It is not easy to write these books. It's not. And to go and you have to go through the whole process of getting them out, which is, trust me, I know how hard that is. I do it every day,
Yes.
for other people. Okay, so number five. And I love this question for people that are, I feel, have accomplished a great deal. If you could tell your younger writing self anything, what would it be?
I would tell myself to edit more before I give it to someone to read, because I think that was the mistake I made in saying, oh, I'm not really sure what I'm doing. Would you read this? I had a lot of editing that I needed to do before I gave it to that person, I think, and that, that's just immaturity in the process. Had I taken more classes, I probably would have realized. But thankfully, Marilee and I are still friends, so it didn't harm our friendship any.
It actually brought you together. It bonded you
It did.
closer. It's like, you need to know how commas work. No, just, you need to, well, that's what they hate me for. I'm like, I'm the one that knows how, why am I the only one that knows where the commas go? I don't understand. Well, that's good. That's cool. But you have to, and I think that's very good advice because people will be, some people I know just start stop because they're too afraid to show people stuff. And it's not going to be good. Usually the first time it's going to be, oh, you're going to have a spark or something. There's going to be something you do really well, but it's not going to be a masterpiece, generally speaking, for a while. Someone has to give you feedback. So this is all very, that's the theme of the day, feedback. And not taking it too hard, too much, just kind of learning from it and moving on. All right, you ready for the
And
quiz?
understanding it's a process. Oh, I'm ready
Yeah.
for the quiz. Yes.
It's a process. Everything is a process. We're in process all day. Okay, number one, quiz for Darlene. I'm really excited to hear what you have to say about all these. They're all very hard. Number one, do you prefer standalone novels or a series?
Prefer a series. If I find characters I really like, it's like getting together with old friends.
Okay, I like
Seeing what
that
they're doing
answer.
next. Yeah.
It's funny because I try to find, I love these. This quiz seems silly, but I learned so much about people just from basic little answers. Because it's funny. I like to kind of judge where I think people will go. Number two, do you prefer reading books set in contemporary times or historical?
Contemporary.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll read the occasional historical. Like I love the Maisie Dobbs series. I think those are fabulous. But I tend towards the contemporary.
Yeah. I'm the same because I'll pick up, I will gravitate towards contemporary, but then once in a while, I will have to read a historical for a panel or something. I'm like, actually, I should be reading these, but I just don't naturally go to them. But then when I do, I'm like, oh, I'm so happy I did. So there's just,
Yes.
I think it's just your predilection or whatever. All right. Number three, do you prefer to write in the mornings or the evenings?
Oh, morning. I'm a morning person.
Yeah.
Yeah, by 3 o'clock, I need a nap.
Yeah, by 3 o'clock, I'm looking at cocktail hour. I'm thinking it's right around the corner, so I'm not trying to get into anything that has to, requires a lot of thinking at this point.
Right.
Like the parenting's done, the writing's done, the work is done. It's time to just chill with some music. Okay. Number four, would you rather watch a movie or a TV show?
Movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want to
Yeah.
read a series and you want to watch a standalone.
Movies don't have commercials.
That is true. That is true. I have to get you Netflix for Christmas and you don't have to worry about the commercials.
Right, yes.
Movies are awesome. I'm a movie person. I always try to watch all the nomination ones. So
Right.
this year I feel like I have to book, a weekend just to watch one movie because they're so long. It's like, what is going on? Right. I like the 90 minutes, a little bit the 70s. I had good times at movies. Okay. Last one
Yes.
of the day. Number five, if you could have dinner with any author, living or dead, who would it be? You don't have to say me.
Oh, darn, that was my answer. I would love to have dinner with Ian Rankin. First of all, because I think it would happen in a pub with a couple of beers, and he is one of the most entertaining people I have ever heard speak. He really is. He's charming, he's delightful. And who doesn't like beer? Well, maybe there are people who don't like beer. I like beer.
I like beer too, but those people are weird. So, just kidding, beer lovers, beer non-lovers. It's fine if you don't like beer, but it is weird. Well, you did great on the quiz and on the questions, and I'm really happy
Oh,
to,
thank
you've
you.
had time. Yeah, of course. It's really lovely to get to know you because I know I've seen your name. Like I said, I know we've been probably in the same room, but we've never really talked. So it was nice for us to get to know each other. I'm really happy that for all the success you're having with your books. I mean, I see them. You're getting great reviews. Things are good. They're cute. They're fun. Everyone needs to run out. Say the name of all three titles again.
Clues from the Canines, Up Close and Personal, and Fire and Dalmatian.
All right. You have to remember those because they're so cute. Now, where can people find you online?
ReadDarlene.com.
Read Darlene. That's a very cool URL you grabbed up. Is Darlene? Yeah.
Yes.
Read Darlene. And then we don't have to, because you have a Z in your name with a D next to it, and it's hard to remember how to spell sometimes
Well,
those names.
no one can ever remember my last name or how to pronounce it. So I was like, DarleneDezamba.com cannot be my website. No one will find me. So ReadDarlene.com.
Very, very good. That was so,
Wait,
with
I
that
think I have to
Z.
say it 7 times, right? ReadDarlene.com.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a jingle. You say it over, readjarlene.com, like on
Yeah.
the insurance commercials we're subjected to 15 times a day. Ooh, commercials. See, there was a thread. It came back up again. Commercials on TV. All right, Darlene, go
Yes.
write some more books. We need them. And everyone needs to go
Oh,
find Darlene and find her books wherever books are sold.
thanks, Sean.
All right, have a good rest of your day.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.